anyone has a cell phone on, we would appreciate it if you put it on silent. If you could keep your conversations down, because it's hard to hear up here. The back doors can remain unblocked at all times. The meeting of the Pole and Conduit Commission, Thursday, May 16th. It's 10:02 p.m. We're in the Michael J. Lombardi Building, 831 Mass Ave. Basement conference room. Before you are the commissioners, Chair Nicole Moratti Ferrer, Steve Linkauskas, and T.J. Shea.
So before we start, did you say that we're being audio recorded?
This meeting is being audio taped.
So before we start, I know that there are some residents here, but I also want to acknowledge we amended the agenda sort of late due to a draft policy regarding small cell attachments on public ways that was that was provided to us by the law department. So we amended the agenda to discuss that. I know that they were sent, this policy was sent to the utility companies. Not sure how many of you have had an opportunity to review it. I also know that it was attached on the agenda. We just received some further edits from our council, and I'm just going to state them for the record. On Roman numeral number one, application process, section A, the new edit, and some of the new ones are here. The amounts due under this section may be revised by the commission from time to time, consistent with applicable law. In the event the city's cost in reviewing any application exceed the amounts prescribed in this section, applicants shall be responsible for those costs. On page two, also under Roman numeral number A, portion F has been deleted, and that portion basically said the application will not be accepted until all items listed above have been submitted and any and all other documents, information, and fees required by this policy are submitted to and accepted by the commission. Then further down on G, an addition has been added that states, in the event an application remains incomplete 30 days after its submission, such application shall be deemed withdrawn without prejudice and will need to be resubmitted in full, including payment of fees accompanying a new application. Withdrawal for the incompleteness shall not entitle applicant to refund of any fees paid. We move on to Roman numeral number two. There has been a deletion, right before Roman numeral number two, so M of Roman numeral number one was deleted, and that stated, if the application is granted, then the applicant shall enter into a license agreement in the form issued by the city. After such license agreement is fully executed, the applicant will be permitted to install its small cell wireless facility or facilities pursuant to said license agreement. Roman numeral number two, C has been added, and it states a copy of the standard license agreement issued by the city, executed by the applicant. Execution by the city shall occur at the time of permit issuance in the event of approval. Moving on to Roman numeral number four, E has been added, and it states an applicant may submit an application inconsistent with the foregoing prohibitions, but only if accompanied by evidence sufficient to demonstrate that the otherwise prohibited installation must be considered by the city in order to avoid a prohibition or effective prohibition on the provision of service as defined by applicable federal law. Roman numeral number five, and then skipping to page seven, little 11 and little 12, the word not has been deleted in both of them. So little 11 now reads, no installation shall be placed where in the determination of the city it might limit the city's abilities to plant future street trees. And little 11, Roman numeral 11 states now, no installation shall be placed where in the determination of the city it might be limit the city's ability to install any city infrastructure, transportation elements, or facilities, including bike lanes, bike racks, or other street furniture and the like. And that concludes the amendments that were made to the posted draft policy. At this time, I'm not sure, do you guys want to hear if anyone has any comments on the draft policy? Okay,
sure.
So if anyone has any comments on the draft policy that was circulated, posted, or has been handed out here, I know it's kind of soon. My suggestion would be to hear from the public and anyone who has an interest in stating something. Anyone? Yeah, if you can please come up and... Please come up. I need you to come up, state your name, and then give us your comments. That would be great. Thank you. Please come up. Yeah, right there. You may sit down. And if you can please tell us your name and if you're with a utility, which utility, or if you're a resident, your...
I'm Kyung Ju Oh. I live right across.
I'm sorry. Can you spell your name?
K-Y-U-N-G.
K-Y-U-N-G.
Uh-huh. Hyphen J-U. Last name is O-H.
O-H. And are you with a utility or are you a resident?
I live right across the street from the proposed light pole.
Oh, okay. So are you here for 78 Spring Street?
No. No, 1975 Mass Ave.
So we're not taking that petition yet. We're talking about the new policy that we're discussing?
We are not talking about the small cell.
We're talking about small cell installations in general.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes. So I live right across the street from the proposed small cell facility to be installed.
Which one?
In 1972 Mass Ave. Okay. I live right across the street. And I was wondering if the health risk is considered for the residents who live nearby.
Okay.
Because there is no consensus among scientists at this moment about the safety of these small cell facilities related to human and animal health. There are conflicting scientific evidence, and in 2017, scientists issued letters requesting EU stopping deployment of those facilities until scientists gather further information about their safety. And as of April 2019, the number of scientists and doctors who issued those letters amounted to about 250 scientists and doctors asked for EU to stop until further evidence that those are not health risk.
Okay, thank you. So just for the record, that also relates to petition number 17. So I would just make sure that our minutes reflect that. And then we'll take it as a general comment in terms of the current proposed policy. Thank you.
So I wish those facilities would be avoided at this moment until further scientific proof away from at least homes, people's homes. And also, if those facilities propagate the signals in horizontally, people who live in condo at the same height as those facilities might be exposed to those radiation in a great amount. American Cancer Association says people on the ground level receive less radiation than FCC approves, and it's pretty safe. But what about people who live at the same level as those facilities?
Thank you very much, Ms. Holmes. Hi. Yes, if you could please state your name. And
sure. Michael Giamo, and I'm representing Verizon Wireless.
Michael, I'm sorry. How do I spell your last name?
G-I-A-I-M-O.
G-I-A-I-M-O.
And I'm with the law firm Robinson & Cole.
And you said you're representing Verizon?
Verizon Wireless,
yep.
Yes.
Go ahead.
And of course, we just got these a couple of days ago, I had a few questions as much as anything. One was, are these intended to apply to utility pole mounts? It's a little unclear. When I read the introductory part underneath the heading, it looks like it's talking about city-owned poles and city-owned property and structures, but a couple places later in the regulations, there's reference to wooden poles, and I'm not sure if the city actually has wooden poles that they were talking about in this context. If these apply also to utility poles, they're very problematic from Verizon's standpoint, and we would want an opportunity to comment on them either way. But I would just say that there's a number of provisions in here that would be very difficult and problematic.
We have a minimum amount of wood poles, which we only have a street light on it in a particular area, and it's considered a city street light pole.
So those are the ones the city owns?
Those are ones the city owns. They're not jointly owned by Verizon and Eversource, as all the others in the city.
Okay, and my understanding had been that this policy would not apply to the Eversource and Verizon poles, but I just wanted to make sure that that was the case.
And we will definitely get confirmation of that. I mean, as you probably are aware, the FCC new regulations are very dense and very long, and this policy came out of the labor of many people for a very long and intense period of time. But as you know, we also just got it, so.
Right, and I understand you're dealing with a new piece too.
But we will definitely look into that and clarify it. Okay. But it, to our understanding, this is in terms of public ways for all installations.
Oh, so including the Verizon and Eversource poles.
It is my understanding that this applies to all small cell attachments, but it is.
I think we need to confirm that because it's my understanding that it does not. So I think there's a conflict here.
I'm glad I asked the question.
Yeah.
We made a tie-breaking vote in the middle. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, yeah. This would be a question for the for attorneys.
Yeah. Right.
But I do know that the FCC regulation not only deals with city-owned, but also with non-city-owned poles. So it very well could be that this policy is just regarding our poles, but it very well could be that we need to adopt one similarly to non-city-owned poles.
Okay, thank you. Again, I did understand you had something of a policy with the non-city-owned poles. I have gone through this process in the past.
We just may have to amend it.
Okay. What is the process you envision in terms of, or the city envisions in terms of comments and hearings and so forth on this, and who would be adopting it? Is that something this body adopts, or is this something that's going to the city council or some other agency?
So this policy is on our agenda for us to adopt. So it's us that adopt the policy. And in terms of petitions that come in after we adopt it, then obviously like any other meeting, we would run it the same way. So we'd have a meeting, it gets scheduled, people will have an opportunity to speak on it, and then we vote.
Okay. Yes, and so I would urge you not to adopt this until a lot of the issues have been worked out with. I'm sure there are other people who want to comment, and I'm sure this would benefit from some back and forth with this group and the law department and others, along with the carriers and others who want to install, and the public.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Anyone else?
So I am Marty Cohen, Network Building and Consulting for Extant, which, as you know, has a number of petitions that are going to be heard today. With me is Haran Rashes. He's an infrastructure director for Extinet.
How do we spell your name, sir, please?
I'm passing my card, it's easier that way.
So for the record, that is Haran, and last name Rashes, Rashes. Thank you.
Let me start by saying, we just got this policy yesterday. We offered the hearing that was held jointly with City Council back in November, as well as through a letter in March, to work with the city on this policy and to give the city input. The letter went unanswered, so we really have not had input into this policy to date. I really recommend that, a policy like this, and I'll tell you right now, looking at this policy, it seems to have been written for macro cells, towers, and then sort of a previously written policy and then sort of try to tailor it to small cells, as opposed to drafting something for small cells from the ground up. We have a lot of problems with it. I can go through them with you today. Or what I would actually recommend is, before this commission takes any action, And I think Verizon alluded to this as well. I feel your best course of action would be to say, we want written comments that would be part of the public record within 14 days, 30 days, whatever. Allow us to address them where we can, where in other words, you're not trying, you know, Mr. Shea has the computer in front of him, where he's not trying to type, you know, I don't know if you're a transcription expert or not, but you know what I mean. That way we could provide written comments to you on our concerns, and we do have many concerns with this. Some I don't even think are legal, some of the things in the policy, and others would cause the city and us possible legal action against both. That's your option if you want me to go forward today with our concerns, or if you want us to, you want to defer consideration of this and allow for written comments. Which would you prefer?
I think for purposes of the record, if you have your comments already with you, I'd like to hear them at this point.
I mean, they're oral because, as I said, I got this yesterday.
You're not the only one that got it yesterday, which is why it was posted yesterday.
That's why it's just scribbles, you know. So.
Yeah.
I'll let Mr. Cohen add anything as I go through. I'll start up the top again. As Verizon said, we're not clear as to who this applies to, what type of installations this applies to. Installations is a capitalized term, and it's not clearly defined in here. Moving down, starting at 1C on page 1.
Can you stop for a moment? I'm just going to take a brief break and maybe call next door and see if Paul's available to come in.
Sure.
I assume that's
the council. We have for 5 minutes. Okay, so before we continue, it is my understanding that today the only petitions in front of us to attach to city-owned poles are extended petitions. Is that correct? And that's correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
Well, ours are.
Yeah. Oh, yes, I just wanted to confirm with the city electrician who knows who owns which poles. With that said, and in the interest of getting clear feedback from both Extenet and other utilities and any other person that has interest, and quite frankly from the commission itself, since we all got this last minute, if Extenet in writing gives us a 60-day extension for the commission to act on the current applications, we can table the discussion in terms of accepting your written...
The current applications would not be subject to this based on grandfathering.
No, they would have to be based on the FCC... Sir, based on the FCC regulation, for us to act on the petitions that are before us today for city-owned poles, we either have to have the policy in place, or you have to give us a 60-day extension for us to act on them. The city does not allow, prior to the FCC regulation, the city did not allow any attachments on city-owned poles. So, again, we can either table this discussion and provide you and all other utilities time to provide us your feedback, and we'll schedule a meeting where we can discuss this more in depth, where we can all discuss the issues and maybe even have our council present, or we can hear your concerns about it now, and then the commission can vote on the policy before us as is.
The FCC order gave municipalities 180 days to come up with policies from the publication of the FCC order. That was on April 12th. In addition, the FCC order does not say that you have to have policy before you can approve it. In fact, the FCC order from August, an earlier order, specifically prohibited any, basically preempting on applications, holding applications in abeyance, pending other things. I think you'd have a very difficult time reading anything into the order that says this city, the city of Cambridge, has to have a policy first and can't consider applications without a policy. We informed the city in November we were going to file. We waited and waited and waited. In March, we gave the city a final letter. I have a copy of that. I'd be happy to distribute it to you.
Mr. Rashes, I don't need the letter. I either need your answer, whether you would assent for the 60 days for us to take.
Let me...
Yep.
Let us talk for a second outside. We'll
yep. Thank you. We can go off the record, so. Petitions, if you can tell us which petitions you're speaking on so we can call those next, that would be great. I know, ma'am, you were here on number 17. Is anyone else here? If you, sir, if you know the number on the agenda, that'd be
yeah,
great.
Yeah, we're here from number, hold on. It's 19 and 23.
Okay. Yes, ma'am?
On number 21.
Okay.
Number 8.
Anyone else? Okay, so it's 8, 17, 19, 21, and 23?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
I didn't know my
number. Yours is 17, because you are for 1972 Mass Ave, correct? Yeah, so you're 17. Okay. Okay, thank you.
Other residents and other residential buildings to file a petition?
To file a petition?
Yes.
I'm sorry, what do you mean file a petition?
To submit a petition.
For what? I'm sorry. I guess I'm not understanding. You mean like in opposition to one of
yeah.
these? No. You can still speak. We'll be calling them. I just want to know. We usually call matters where residents are here to speak on first so that you don't have to stay throughout the whole meeting.
Sure.
So, yeah. No.
Okay.
Yes, sir?
Excellent. Would be willing to toll the shot clock on these applications, provided we feel that the commission is willing to listen to input and take input on these changes, and that we're given an opportunity both for written comments and both us and the rest of the industry, a sit down with the commission or whoever's in charge and the city attorney to really go over the issues that we raise in our written comments before it's actually considered.
Well, I think you didn't hear me then, because what I had proposed was the 60 days to provide you and everyone else an opportunity to submit comments, to allow us to also submit comments, to have a meeting to further discuss more in depth this when we don't have an entire agenda. So all of that, I will not be saying that we will produce a city attorney on this, because I cannot speak for the city solicitor's office, and quite frankly, I am not sure that our conversations with council we would want open to the public. Of course, we are working with our attorneys on this, and of course, any written comments and any suggestions we will be handling as we would any other petition that we are
draft
doing.
And submit a tolling agreement to whoever you tell me to send it to tomorrow.
I would need it today. So you can go upstairs, you can write it on your pad, and sign it and provide it to us.
Okay. Give me your email and I can get it to you second.
Yep. No, I mean like before we...
I mean, how much time do you... Yeah, how much... Yeah. It'll take a while, but I can get it, yeah.
Okay. So license at cambridgema.gov. And so for that, then, can I say on the record that petitions 13 through 17 will be continued for 60 days? And we'll hear this in, so two meetings from now or two? So
well, you're meeting monthly, right, still?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we'd be...
About July, something with, to be determined exact date. But
yeah.
It's got to be within, obviously... 60-day extension, so.
Yeah, so.
Do you know the date of your July meeting?
Do we know?
I'm looking.
They might not yet, but they might.
No, we have up through June.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but it's usually the third Thursday.
I mean, if I could look
at
a calendar,
but
I could tell you.
Well, we need to confirm with our schedules
yes,
as well. July
yeah.
is a tricky month, so
why
it's,
don't
but it's
I,
usually the third
why don't
Thursday.
Why don't I extend it to the third Thursday?
Of July?
Because that's probably like 61 days.
Or how about the end of July, so that we can make sure that we have the meeting before
okay.
the 60 days?
That makes more sense, yeah.
Okay.
I'll get you a tolling agreement shortly.
Okay, thank you. Thanks. And Ms. Ho, I know that you, I'm sorry, Ms. Oh, I know you were here for number 17. That matter has been continued to July. We can send you, if you go upstairs and you give my staff your email address, we can send you the date of when that meeting happens, but we will definitely include your comments on the record, okay? Thank you. With that said, anyone else that would like to be heard on the policy today?
May I just ask a question then?
Yes, sir. If you can please come up and state your name, that would be great. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Edmund Donnelly for AT&T.
Edmund?
Edmund, yes. E-D-M-U-N-D. Just a point of a clip.
Sorry, and Donnelly?
Donnelly, yes. D-O-N-N-E-L-L-Y. So just a quick point of clarification regarding an opportunity to provide comments. Where would you suggest we submit these comments, or will there be some type of posting to explain what the comment period would look like, just so we can all be clear about how the commission will be accepting comments? And
so my proposal to the commission, which I was planning to make, was basically we will schedule another meeting where we have everyone. We'll send out a notice to all our known utilities and anyone that has something in our right of way, basically, at this point. And we'll provide you a general email, probably licensed at cambridgema.gov, to submit those statements. We'll have to confer in terms of our schedules as to when we can have a meeting. I would probably think this will need two meetings, depending, to hear people if they want to be heard aside from the comments as well, and also will, because we have to discuss in an open meeting whatever is submitted to us. So I would probably think we'll have two meetings on this. At a minimum, we'll have one, but yes, we'll definitely let everyone know, and we'll definitely post it and hopefully give more time. I would probably think the first meeting we try to do sooner rather than later, so that we can sort of get a gauge of it, so maybe looking 2 weeks down the line or something like that. I'm not quite sure yet. Again, we have to look at our schedules.
And then is there a way for AT&T to be kind of put on that notification list? Because I'm not sure we would necessarily be captured by the existing.
Yes. So if you leave us your email address, I will make sure that you also get notification of it.
Great. Thank you.
But worst case scenario, anyone's here that's listening to us, we are to post our agendas and our meetings 48 hours in advance. So we would have that posting 48 hours before. But again, if anyone leaves their email address, we'll definitely make sure to include you.
Great. Thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Anyone else? With that said, I move to take this draft policy into to defer taking a vote on it so that we can further consider it. I would also suggest putting out a notice to all known utilities and anyone who provides their notification here for a meeting where we can hear and also provide them an opportunity to submit in writing, and then maybe even consider a second meeting on the issue.
A second.
Second.
Okay, so that's what we'll do. So under advisement. All right, thank you. With that said, let's move on to petition number 8, Crown Castle. It's a new petition at 78 Spring Street proposing to attach small cell site equipment to an existing utility pole in front of 78 Spring Street. Fiber will be fed aerial via overlashing to currently licensed poles on Spring Street.
So I'm the owner and you're the Crown Cable people.
Correct.
Nice to meet you.
Nice. So just for the record, I did receive a phone call from Councillor Toomey expressing his concern as well about this petition.
Concern meaning yay or concern meaning nay?
Just wanted to be on the record for making the phone call.
But what is the...
That was the general gist.
Okay, so we got a call from Councillor Toomey. Mm-hmm. Okay. Good morning. Could you please state and spell your name for the record? I'll start this way.
Good morning. Amanda Cornwall, C-O-R-N-W-A-L-L, Crown Castle.
Mike Buccini, B-U-C-C-I-N-I, with U-C Synergetic, S-Y-N-E-R-G-E-T-I-C.
Thank you.
Anna Kamide.
I'm sorry, I did it.
Anna Hanna, A-N-A. C-A-M-A-Y-D. I'm owner and resident of 78 Spring Street.
Sorry,
C-A-M-A. It's Perez. I should have never changed my last name. It's much easier to do.
We all have to spell that.
C-A-M-A-Y-D.
Exactly. C-A-M-A-Y-D.
Okay, thank you. So why don't we have Crown Castle explain the petition and then we'll hear from you. Thank you. Go ahead.
Sure. So this petition is for AT&T. This is a first-time install. It consists of a pole-top mounted antenna in a side-mounted shroud. This is in order for AT&T to expand their coverage in the area. They've identified that there's a gap in coverage here, so this is to help take care of that.
Ms. Cornwall, have you or anyone from Crown Castle visited the site, physically visited the site?
Yes, someone would have gone to visit the site, especially to get the pictures on the photo simulations on page 4.
Okay. I mean, I also visited the site, and I am wondering why in particular that pole. There's at least 4 other poles in the area that are not directly across from a residence.
Yep. So when AT&T makes their pole selection, they look at several factors. They look at tree coverage, constructability, buildings in the area, and then we start getting outside of their target zone, and that's how we ended up with this pole selection.
No, and I understand that they do sort of like, I've seen it, yep. Where they have the little radius, sort of yep. Like when you pinpoint a cell phone, you have like a little circle, you don't really have the pinpoint. Do you know whether AT&T actually visited the area and looked at the other poles?
Yes, but I have... which I'm pretty sure this is just an internal document that we generate where they have, as you mentioned, they have their target site and then the poles that are around it, and they look at different candidates. One of the other candidates they looked at, for example, is, let's see, it says, I'm not good. I was going to say, I'm going to butcher that name.
Yeah.
Shirapa. Yeah, okay. This was a secondary candidate that they looked at, and it's kind of hard to see. I can pass this around if you need it, but there's a lot of tree coverage here. Also, one of the other things is they try to get a pole top mounted antenna because that's the best for network coverage. So for the instance, this secondary selection would have to be a side mounted antenna as well as substantial tree trimming, which we want to avoid touching any trees.
Do you know in your internal documents, do you know if they looked at the pole directly across the street on the other side where there is literally no residences?
On Spring Street or up on Scroll?
So, Shirapa.
So Spring is this way.
Yeah.
Right? Spring is this way. And this one. So
parallel to Curly and Thorndike and Otis and Cambridge.
Here, you'll see how bad I am.
So
this is your proposed pole. There's a pole right here, and none of these are residents.
Up at the intersection.
There's also a pole here, and there are no residences.
So
there's
you at the
a pole down
of
here,
Shirapa.
And then a pole here, and all of those don't have residences across.
You're up at the intersection of Shirapa, right? Right at the 4 corners of that.
So this is Spring,
yeah.
And whatever this is.
May I have an aerial? I brought an aerial. I think that would be.
There's
a parking lot there.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a parking lot that has no abutters. That's what I was going to talk about today as well. And, it minimizes the abutters considerably, and it's only a few yards down. Yeah. This is your proposed site, my house, the red one, 78. This is 80 Spring Street. This is a parking lot for cabs and some private cars. A small parking lot, but still there. That has no... residential abutters. Catherine Cavanaugh is across the street. She's got that terrible pole that crosses and one goes up in the air and doesn't have a base to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, she and I were talking about this extensively, and we thought, well, could you co-locate her terrible pole to this corner here? But that's another story.
I'm guessing
this is
so where we So this pole we can't use. That's out of the question because it's on freeway.
The site that she's recommending would be there. It's a parking lot.
But there's no pole.
No, but can you move a pole?
No.
Because here's the one in front of my house, which is right there.
Yeah,
you
no,
can't
we can't
poles.
Add or move a pole.
There's no pole in the corner
there.
There's
no pole parking lot.
Okay, I was looking at the...
Well, Catherine's...
And then this is a double pole.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's a
there is a location a little further up, I believe it's pole 23, which is a... I forget the name of the center there, but it's not a residential unit. It's a brick. It's only a block up.
So you head north on Spring?
Towards, it'd be on Spring, pole number 23, right where it crosses over, right before 5th. Well, closer to, between Tarapa and 5th.
Here's.
Okay. And that's not a residential unit, and if I believe that the facility is only open during the day. It's a, off the top of my head, I don't recall what the name of that.
Are we getting, how many poles away is that? Because we're getting kind of far away from our target.
What pole number were you asking to be located on?
Is it 251?
It's 18. 18.
So it's on the other side of Sharapa, halfway up that block.
I know the first one on that on Sharapa, I think, had a transformer on it.
Yeah. This one is clear. It's just that it's not in front of anybody's residence, and it's in front of a building that's not commercial, but it's only occupied during the day.
My iPad doesn't want to go up that street.
Do you know what was the pole number for that
23.
One? 23.
Yeah.
23.
I mean, when they do it in an assessment of the area, that's today's assessment, right? Which could change. You know?
Yeah, that's fair.
That's today's assessment. I mean, I know your coverage is pretty narrow as far as within so many hundred feet, but I mean, that could change. That could change in a week. Could change in a month. That all of a sudden. People who are using their cell phones or what's going on in the area.
Yeah, we can't.
I can't look at it. It doesn't want to go there for that reason.
We would have to do another whole assessment and see if it's outside of the target coverage or if they have need in that area.
Because
the pole might be viable, but they don't have need for that area.
We try and stick within one span of our original selection. If we go two spans, we're kind of losing our original target location.
I think it would be fair to have them verify whether they can use pole 23 and whether that would service them.
Also, I did see an email that this could be a historical.
Well, the neighborhood is. It's on the historical register. Some houses have really done it. They're rehab historically, but most haven't. But it is historical nature, so that the hanging wires and all that clutter really takes away from what the neighborhood really is and can look like. Presented a petition from 38 of the residents, including my immediate abutters, who feel that, everyone wants better telecommunications, but they don't want it at the cost of having this clutter of wires dangling. Their request is really to look at sites that are more appropriate than Spring and 78 Spring Street. For example, you have one coming up today, I think, for 2nd Street and Spring.
Mm-hmm.
And out of the four abutters, only three are non-residential.
I'm sorry, for the record, that's the one that I was talking about. That's the Spring Street I was talking about. You show me this one, I apologize.
So those abutters are the courthouse, the back of the First Street garage, and a pharmaceutical company.
Mm-hmm.
So it's only one residential, and that's diagonally across from where the proposed work is, and that's a long diagonal on the end of the house. It's not right up onto the lot line. So that's getting where we want to go. That neighborhood's not upset about that. But this is this is right in front of my house. So this is my bedroom window, folks.
I think it's probably more the equipment than the wires, because I think with another wire up there. It'd be pretty tough to designate that was the added wire, but I do understand your concern with the equipment. I think you should probably look for an alternate location, especially 23.
Yeah, we can take a look at this. Unfortunately, it's going to be, as almost impossible for us to always avoid being in a residential area, especially that's what drives the demand for coverage.
That's not the request. The request is to the less residential site in the area. It's like Second and Spring is okay. Only one of the abutters is residential. You might find two. You can't move a pole. I don't know why, because I don't have a background in this. But you could. Yes. You could even be on the corner of Spring and Shirocco, but by the parking lot, and then that way, we're all farther away, even though there are four residential abutters.
Yeah, I understand.
Yes.
Okay. Your concern.
East End House.
Oh.
So, I mean, the pole itself is fine. It's just the distance where four spans.
It's probably about four spans, yeah.
Yes,
and it crosses over, but it is a little higher up in an altitude, so I don't know if that may help also, but I think it's worth looking at.
So let's continue to allow the petitioner an opportunity to explore other poles, and in particular, pole number 23.
Okay. I mean, don't narrow it down to just 23. Right. Like in the area.
Just less residential.
Right.
We all want
that. We always try to keep it away from people's windows as much as we can.
Really? I mean, that's what's coming from the inside. I mean, the inside view.
Yeah.
Take a picture back to your office. That inspires you a little
Thank you very much. Thank you. And so do my neighbors. Okay. Before I be here, before this particular hearing is over, two questions related.
To the hearing that you just, just very quickly. Okay, do you have something to say to the petitioner? Go ahead.
Yes. Martin Cohen, I'm just asking the question, not necessarily written in action. The first is, it wasn't clear to me whether this petition is subject to the policy that we've talked about. Is it or is it not?
And your next question?
And my next question is this a city-owned pole or is it a
wooden house?
It's a utility pole.
Okay.
And in terms of the policy, as you know, we have taken it under advisement, and as you heard earlier, there is some question even amongst the board, which is why we did not adopt it, whether or not this applies to all attachments, including those on utility poles.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Moving on to number 19. This is a continuation for Eversource at 113 Webster Ave.
No, I'm okay.
If you could please state and spell your name for the record, that would be great. Let's start this way and go.
Lee Thomas, L-E-E-T-H-O-M-A-S.
And you are?
I represent the owner property.
And that's which?
Raffi Properties, R-A-F-I, Properties.
Okay, thank you.
Susan Barroso, B-A-R-R-O-S-O, Eversource.
Jackie Duffy, Eversource.
Jack Grant, G-R-A-N-T, with Raffi.
And then if I remember this correctly, this is for a building that is going, this is for an upgrade,
yes.
Correct?
Yes.
And the building is going to be renovated?
It's ongoing right
now. It's ongoing renovation, but at the point where we heard this last, there had been no permits for building or anything pulled yet on this, correct?
I think it was more of outstanding.
Eversource.
That outstanding payment for permits.
Okay.
And just so that you know, if you don't mind,
this wasn't far along, because I know we approved one that was far along. This is the one that wasn't super far along in terms of the construction, correct?
It was. I don't think it was known to us how far, but
okay.
I don't think there was any building permit that was visible through Public Works. With
okay, that's, I remember something about a building permit. All right, thank you. Go ahead.
No, we've had the building permit for quite a long time, and actually construction's ongoing. I have a copy of the schedule where we're right now planning to start drywall on 520, and we need the HVAC and the finish electrical by June 20th to June 25th. So we are kind of under the gun, and we appreciate anything you could do for us. What's the date of the permit?
October 2nd.
October 2nd, yeah. That's the building permit. Dane is the one that's a little bit behind. That's because we have two. We're number 19, what was it, actually 23?
Nine Dana Street. Also, I think it's the last one on the agenda.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
We're here for two.
Okay. So I think the major thing was
outstanding permits, which have been paid.
Okay. So any other issues with this?
I make a motion to approve with typical conditions.
Okay, so granted with typical permission.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Are we going to do 9?
Yeah, just wait there.
We're going to do 21.
21. Okay, we're 21.
Because we have residents on 21.
No problem.
This is Ellery at Broadway, northeasterly from that manhole cover of 2533 at the intersection of Ellery Street to install approximately 15 feet of conduit.
Is it 20 or 21?
21 is for 22 Magazine Street.
No, they changed.
No.
Oh, I must have a...
Okay, so
I
then
21 also.
Yeah, you have the old agenda.
Okay.
I have the one that we posted prior to having the policy added and everything shifted down. So you're here on 22 Magazine Street,
correct.
So we're just here number 22.
Thank
which
you.
Is 22 Magazine Street, also NSTAR, and also a new petition. Nice. And Susan Barroso and Jackie Duffy for NSTAR, and your name?
Alison, A-L-I-S-O-N, Crowley, C-R-O-W-L-E-Y. Representing the owner, MIT.
Okay. Go ahead.
This building is currently under construction. It's a 12-unit apartment building, and this is the Eversource work is for a service upgrade necessary to bring central air conditioning into the building and to service other buildings in the area as well.
We need central AC with this weather.
Good point.
Okay.
Is it a transformer manhole?
Yes.
Be the same as the previous petition.
Mm-hmm. We just want to make sure that the bricks go back on the sidewalk at the manhole location. Obviously, ADA compliant.
At the manhole? Do you have bricks on the manhole?
Well, they can recess the bricks on top of the structure on the sidewalk.
Huh?
Similar
to
other
sidewalk
bricks,
yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so
this manhole is just is it a vault? I mean, is this just the?
It's a big.
It'll be a HA300. It'll be three covers.
Three covers.
It'll be three covers.
Single covers though. Not
yes.
Big squares where we have to pour the where it's a concrete cover.
You're gonna see square metal.
You will see square metal covers. So.
Right, but it's an existing brick sidewalk, so we'll brick around.
Brick around. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll make a motion to approve. Typical conditions.
And the additional condition that bricks go back on the sidewalk.
Correct. Restore it to existing?
Yes.
Restore it to existing.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And then number 23 also ends our new petition for Center Street. And this is 9 Dana Street, northerly for pole 1965 at the intersection of Center Street to install approximately 82 feet of conduit. Susan Barroso, Jackie Duffy, and then again your name.
Lee Thomas.
And Jack Grant.
Jack Grant, yeah.
Okay. Also Rafi?
Yes.
Correct. You have a location. There's going to be a pad mount on the property?
No, there's going to be a manhole on the property.
A manhole on the property?
Yes. So private property manhole.
Okay.
A private property manhole.
None.
Motion to approve typical conditions.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now it's no longer you ladies.
Okay.
We'll go back to the top of the agenda. We'll hear petition number 2, Cambridge Network Solutions, continuation from January 31st for Hurley and First Street. Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your name for the
record? Good afternoon. I apologize. Jeffrey, J-E-F-F-R-E-Y, Harrington, H-A-R-R-I-N-G-T-O-N.
Thank you.
I believe, again, my apologies for my voice. I believe the last piece was just uploaded, which we're waiting for on this application, was our Verizon license that has been uploaded. It was received and uploaded. I also provided it to Dana to be passed out to the to you folks.
And also, did you receive responses to the common trench letter?
Yes, there was no, I apologize, there was no people requesting to participate.
So the excavation will be between Thorndike and Hurley?
Yes.
Between those two?
Right, where we left off with another conduit that was part of the joint trench to one canal.
So we'll require a city conduit with that also?
Okay. 1 4 inch?
1 4 inch, yeah.
The DPW would like to set up a site visit to go over the corridor before we approve this.
Absolutely.
So a motion to approve with typical conditions and a city conduit and site meeting with the DPW.
We're gonna just, you know, too, we're gonna use the same contractor that was in the first one because okay. It makes sense because they're aware of what both that walkout as well as what's in the street at that end. So yep. I think it makes sense just to continue that continuity flow down.
Yep.
Second.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Going on to number 3, level 3 communications, also a continuation. Good morning. Could you please state and tell your names for the record?
Ben Whitaker, W-H-I-T-A-K-E-R, level 3.
Sean Ellis, S-H-A-W-N, A-L-L-E-S, Crown Castle.
A-L-L-E-S.
Yes.
And Sean,
S-H-A-W-N.
Okay. Thank you, and we continued this because you needed to send out the common trench letter. Coordination with DPW and lead company was necessary. So,
correct.
Where
so
are
we sent out the letters on April 26th, and we had two participants that were willing to join on this particular dig. Crown Castle is one, and Cambridge Network Solutions. I have a copy of the list of companies that we notified.
Who's going to be the lead company? Level
3? Level 3, yes.
And then this was the one where you had to also coordinate with EF Education, right?
That was they wanted to pay.
Yeah,
which has since passed.
Correct.
But
yeah. So you're dealing with that as well.
Yes.
Okay.
I also contacted Paul Alameda from the Cambridge DPW and asked for a site visit. He said he'd walk the site and was familiar with both of the level 3 applications and didn't have any issues.
I think you're still referencing old street names. Is that correct?
Yes.
The revised drawings have been uploaded.
Yes.
With the correct street names.
Okay. Jacob Street. Is that the one?
Within
North Point Boulevard and
Education Street and Education Circle.
Okay.
Do you have them?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's now Education Circle rather than North Point Boulevard, is that?
Yes. I believe North Street is now called Jacob Street, is that correct?
That I'm not sure.
I believe, it's hard to follow down there, but I believe North Street is now Jacob Street.
I was down there a couple days ago, the signs still say North Street.
Yeah.
North Point Boulevard.
I think it changed in the past week or so.
It's still considered private, isn't it?
It's still private. Hasn't been turned over. And you're still required to come to the Monday morning DPW coordination meetings?
Yes.
So.
As well as our conduit for the city.
Yeah. Orange
Network,
conduit, right?
Yeah. I believe Network Solutions needs to apply also.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure how that works.
So I'm sorry, if you're going to have conversations, can you please...
They're here, so we can call whatever.
Hold on a second. In the back, if you're going to have conversations, please take them outside, because since we're recording, it becomes really problematic for us later. So thank you. I'm sorry to cut
you off. So for participants that file as a, you know, as a participant in a lead company bill, do they have to file separate paperwork, or is it, are they just named? It's the way we used to do it. They just were named on one of the sheets on the lead company.
Well, if you're taking responsibility for them... But otherwise, no. Otherwise, they would have to submit their own petition. Correct.
That's not the way it used to happen here. The participant company was just a separate form agreement that was attached onto the application for lead company, naming the particular participants that were in the bill.
I thought they had to fill the paperwork out. And
yeah, we can do that anyway.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, there would be an application, the fee, and all that.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But under the lead company.
Okay.
But the same paperwork, but heard under the lead company.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, make a motion to approve typical conditions and with the addition of an application from Network Solutions.
And also and Monday morning coordination meetings with DPW
and
Crown, 4-inch
Corduit.
I'm sorry, yeah, Crown.
Yes.
But I think we had one for Crown from last...
Well, that's a separate bill.
Yeah,
that's a separate bill.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay, so yes. Yeah.
Okay.
So, granted with all typical conditions, ensuring that addresses are updated and correct, applications from Crown Castle and Cambridge Network Solutions, Monday morning, DPW coordination meetings, and 4-inch conduit for the city.
Yep.
Okay.
So would that apply for 3 and for your application as well? Is that number 3, 6?
Yeah, for 3-6, for 6, yes. You would have to apply for 6.
Yes.
Miss Lentz, are you calling or am I calling? But I
just get the time. Level 3 for Education Circle at North Street. Continuation from petition 33891, starting at existing level 3 manhole on Education Circle at Museum Way. French install 1 4-inch conduit, 370 feet plus or minus southeasterly, to expose 3x3 level 3 manhole from proposed level 3 manhole. Continue 230 feet northeasterly on Education Street to existing private telecommunication manhole.
Okay, and for the record again, Ben Whitaker.
Yes.
Go ahead.
So this is essentially in the same area, just to go to a new building, Aid Education. So we also put out joint note, this request for participation, and we did not get any responses. So this would just be a level 3 build.
Okay.
into the building. And we would do it at the same time as the other build. It's in the same area.
You don't have an 8M permit for this location yet?
What's that?
You don't have an 8M permit for this location yet?
I'm not sure what that is.
MWRA sewer permit?
Oh, no. No, I don't think they got that.
Yeah, you need that.
Okay. Bill, did you get that?
I don't have an 8M permit, no.
Okay.
So do you want to continue
this? Yes.
Waiting for the audience? Okay. So continued to provide applicant opportunity to obtain the 8M permit.
Could we approve it and contingent upon it, the permit, as we would a utility permit from the electrical department? Anybody else? I mean, just rather than
you could
continuing.
I mean, we've done it both ways, so
yeah.
It doesn't really.
I mean, it just, you know, once it's downloaded, it wouldn't be that no construction would begin until all permits are.
But then, in theory, their timeline starts once we approve it. Do we really want to take away if this?
Well, the timeline starts, but if they can't obtain it, they could always ask in writing to extend. I'll go on here with you.
It really doesn't matter. I know I spoke to Paul Amita, who you've spoken with.
Yes.
I guess it's in the works. It just hasn't been approved by MWRA.
That's for, I think, Crown Castle.
All right. I was told it was for this location as well.
Why don't we continue it then?
Yeah.
Let's continue, get some clarification. Let's make sure that everything's squared away rather than having us trying to figure it out on our end.
Yeah.
Motion to continue.
Okay. Second.
All those in favor.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Continuation from January 31st. Clarification for having two antennas on the pole, Crown Castle, Ellery Street. Existing base station within a public right-of-way and utility pole number 22724 near the corner of Ellery and Broadway.
For the record, Amanda Cornwell again.
Yes.
I believe this is continued due to Eversource's antenna and per their standards. A second antenna should not have been installed there, so increasing it wouldn't conform. So we had asked that you get a confirmation from Eversource.
Yep, and I have an email from Eversource stating that it's okay. Originally, when this was done, we were supposed to do pole top antenna, and then we worked it out with Eversource that we would move down to the comm zone for them to use the close to the pole top for the WIP. So I have the copy of the email.
Yeah. You know what? I'd actually like to propose to continue all small cell attachment petitions today, because if the policy does apply across the board, and if there is no such thing as grandfathered petitions under the new FCC regulations, I would like to make sure that we're being consistent throughout.
Okay. Okay, so that would be a motion to continue.
Second.
So those in favor?
Aye. And with that said, I would say the same
for all the rest of small cell for today?
Yes.
Okay.
So that would be on 6, 7, 9, 10, 11. Yes,
okay.
I'll make sure that my staff sends all of you an email in terms of once we figure out our schedule, when that will happen. And obviously we'll send you an email also as to where you can send communications with regard to this, although I think all of you have all of our emails anyway, but we'll certainly do a formal notice.
Okay.
And we'll send that out. And
I
then
know we've got stuff in the funnel for next month, so should we kind of...
I think so, yeah. I think we should move everything, as we did with Extenet, to the end of July, basically, until we figure this out so that we can get clarification, also so that we can hear from all of you. I'm quite frankly interested and concerned, as it seems like all of you have different opinions in terms of how this affects, whether if it's on utilities, a pole, or a city-owned pole. So,
okay. All right.
Thank you.
Yeah,
number 18 was continued prior to the hearing. That was TC Systems, just as an FYI. So let's go to number 20, which is Enstrom.
For 2013 Mass Ave, northerly from manhole cover 233 at the intersection of Regent Street, to install approximately 5 feet of conduit. And for the record, that's Jackie Duffy and Susan Barossa.
Thank you.
Is it temp service for the construction site?
Yes.
No issues with you.
I'm sorry, your name, sir?
Phil Turgis with Acorn Holdings.
Phil, I'm sorry, your last name?
T-E-R.
I'm sorry, we can't hear up here if you're talking.
T-E-R-Z-I-S.
Thank you, and you are with?
Acorn Holdings.
Michael Burke, B-U-R-K-E, Nauset Construction.
Thank you. Go ahead.
This is within the construction area also, isn't it? Behind the Jersey barriers?
Yes.
So the sidewalk's been taken already?
Yes, we're renting the sidewalk currently.
Yeah. Most to approve.
A second.
Yeah. As far as typical conditions, do you need a site meeting where it's within that?
We can coordinate with DPW.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So granted.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So typical conditions.
Typical.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
So that's motion to approve.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Don't run so quick.
She's running from me today.
Okay, number 21, NSTAR for Ellery at Broadway, northeasterly from manhole cover 2533 at the intersection of Ellery, to install approximately 15 feet of conduit, and again, that's Jackie Duffy and Susan Barossa for the record.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is for a traffic signal.
Yeah.
I believe it's like 2 feet of conduit. Yeah. Did they already punch the manhole, do you know?
Not sure.
Yeah, but it's right within 2 feet of that cabinet. Okay.
Typical conditions.
Yeah, motion to approve with typical conditions.
Second.
All those in favor?
Thank you. Thank
you.
And moving down to discussion on tracking completion of work.
Sorry, you skipped over.
Oh, I did?
Yep, that's okay.
Which one is?
Which one?
Number six. That's okay.
We are so sorry.
That's all right.
Oh, no, we continued this. Oh, wait, did we?
About that one yet.
No, six. Wasn't that included? Isn't that the same?
No, that was just number three that was continued.
Okay, so sorry. Yeah, you're right.
No, number
three was.
Number four. Number four was continued.
Yeah, four was continued to obtain the 8M permit. I think we called it as a small cell installation, but it is not. So let's go, I'm sorry, back to number six, Crown Castle. This is a continuation from April 25th, and this is for North Point Boulevard.
What's the record ID number on that?
44042.
Yeah.
And your name again for the record, please?
Sean Alice.
And we had actually continued this because you needed to send out a common trench letter. You need to coordinate with DPW and the lead company. So
yes.
This is related to level three.
Correct.
So this is related to petition number four.
Three.
We're all over the place today with numbers, sorry. And so level three will be lead company.
Crown Castle will be lead company on this one.
Oh, okay.
Well,
you guys are making me
dizzy
with
confused.
All of this.
No, I'm a little confused on this one. Isn't that the same?
It's not, no. So we actually, we had another trench that was approved last month coming off of Monsignor Way.
Correct.
Went to 17 Monsignor.
Yep.
That was approved. This is a continuation of that trench up to 10 North Point. So it was put on, it was continued due to the fact that level three wanted to become a joint trench partner. So we processed that paperwork.
You know what I think happened? I think we heard them together last week or last month, and that's why.
Is that this?
And but you're basically saying that these are two different. It's the same area,
same
but two
area,
different.
Two separate jobs, correct?
Okay.
Part of the trench. I think part of the trench.
I'm sorry, sir. If you can come up and also state your name for the record.
Bill Conway, Conway.
Thank you.
So part of the trench is in the same area. They'll be in the same trench, but
Crown Castle
has an additional trench as well. So that's why we kind of put it in, linked them together, because part of the trench is together between level three and Crown Castle.
Which is part of three and four. This one here was on its own.
So this right here, if I'm going to show you, kind of highlighted the yellow. So in the yellow, that's the joint between level three and Crown Castle, which was part of petition three.
Mm-hmm.
And then going up Museum Way.
So Museum Way towards McGrath and O'Brien Highway.
No, headed, I guess we would call it east.
Towards North Point Boulevard?
Yes.
Well, that's what we just, I thought that's the level three common trench that we just talked about.
No, level three goes the other way, towards Education Circle.
That was the second petition.
This is 44042, right?
44042,
okay.
Yeah.
So Museum Way, it's coming out of the manhole, existing manhole?
Yes, so that was part of petition last month, which was for 17 Monsignor.
Yep.
That was approved.
Yep.
So this will be a continuation.
Of that going down, passing Education Street.
Correct.
To the intersection of North Point Boulevard.
Yes.
And then heading down North Point Boulevard. Into the new building that's there.
Correct.
The new EF. So the level three petition we just heard. So you're part of that build, starting just after Education Street.
Yes.
Out to North Point Boulevard, and then from into the new building and down to North Street.
Yes.
So this what you're petitioning for is going from the first building, which is Monsignor O'Brien Highway.
Correct.
To the handhole.
Yep.
Just before North Point Boulevard on Museum Way.
Correct.
I got it. I got you. All right.
I'm glad someone does.
Yeah, okay. No, it's...
And this piece here does not cross over.
Right. So, yeah, so as this position, it's showing that whole run, but it's not.
It's technically the position, the entire run.
It's the entire run, including the common trench with level two.
Right.
Yeah. And level three is in. They did not want to participate with you on this one.
Level three did.
They did.
They submitted paperwork. We did submit to the joint trench partners.
Yeah.
I guess they just have to fill out the paperwork.
Okay.
Yeah, they'll have to fill out the petition like the CNS, Cambridge Network Solution.
Yeah. Okay. So make a motion to approve typical condition and submission of an application from
level three.
So you need a
and a
conduit
city conduit, yeah, and a
city
conduit, and a city conduit, yeah. So that entire network out there will have a conduit for the city.
Yep.
On the motion,
second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Okay. That's fine.
Thanks.
Very confusing.
All in all, it'll be one trench.
Right. Right, right.
Thank you.
And Paul Almeida is going to have to figure it out, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Ready? No, are you here for anything?
I'm a resident at 1600 Massachusetts Avenue. And Extenet's proposing to put a small cell facility at 1607 to 1611.
Yep.
I'm opposed to that, and I would like to have the small cell facility at a distance further away from our residential building.
Okay. So we continued that petition, but if you go upstairs or if you give Ms. Lynch your email, when it's rescheduled, we'll certainly send you an email so that you can speak as well.
I would appreciate that.
Okay. Thank you. So either give it to Ms. Lynch or just go upstairs to the License Commission and tell them your email so we can get that to you. Okay. And ma'am?
Oh, I'm here with that.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay. So now to number 24.
Okay. So now it's a discussion on tracking completion of work.
So I have brought this up. I'm not sure that we're ready to discuss this unless you guys are. I feel like I'm bombarded with so many other stuff that I don't know exactly how to do it. But I can certainly ask IT to try and build it to the viewpoint.
Tracking of the completion of work, the completion of...
So right now, so I'm glad you have one of those. So right now, you have a pull-in conduit and you see our workflow step here.
Right.
We do the vote and then, blah, 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 notice of... your sign off and electrical meeting DPW, then they have to file the acceptance without reservation, the grant of location issues, and then the notice of completion of work. So they have to tell us when they completed the work.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the way the system is built, we are not, unless we have Dana do a report, let's say, every other Friday, to see what's on track and what's supposed to end. We haven't really built anything into the system for us to track when that ends. With that said, when we do, the question is, what are we doing? Do we want the system to sort of ding the applicant and say, you either have to complete the work in 10 days or you have to submit a letter to us requesting an extension?
It should be part of the workflow. Tracked on viewpoint.
It should, yes. But the question is, do we want the system to ding them after a certain period of time and then tell them, provide us a letter, and then we take those letters at a meeting and then we'd either approve or deny the extension, or do we want the system to ding, they haven't, and send us a notice saying work wasn't completed within whatever 60 days, and then we bring them in for a hearing to revoke the grant of location.
I personally like the previous one because with all the construction and the, every complication and everything else that goes on, I highly doubt that anyone ever finishes on time. And to start revoking grants seems a little excessive at that point.
Yeah.
Okay. So can I have IT sort of build it that way? I'll draft a letter that maybe that the system automatically sends. Or Ms. Lynch will draft a letter, whatever, and then we can discuss whether the letter is fine in terms of the language, and then we'll send that out. Okay.
So it'd be before. So after 60 days, if they haven't put a shovel in the ground, the grant allocation would
be revoked.
Unless they notify us.
Yeah.
So it should be prior to the 60 days, of course.
Yeah.
So ping them, because,
Yeah, I'm thinking that they get pinged 45 days in.
Yeah.
That gives them an opportunity to submit the paperwork, and even if the 60 days expires before our next meeting, the letter and the request to extend it is there. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. If we could also remind them that they need to download the utility permit or any other permits. They haven't been doing that. I've been telling them, listen, it's not on us to download these permits that you receive. You go into your account and you download them. Because then I get notified that when they do a utility permit, I do get the notification, but sometimes I'll give them the permit, but they won't upload it.
So do you want that as part of this notification or separate?
You know what I can do? I'll add it. I'll add it on my permit. So you must.
Yeah, I was just going to say,
okay.
Okay. And then we can also do some clarification in terms of our applications and say, because when you approve the step of electrical department utility permit sign-off, that in the workflow step means that it's done. Are you on Viewpoint yet?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, no, I'm not. No. Utility permits are not on Viewpoint.
Okay, because when they are, what we can do is we can add them to a project. We can create the petition, so petition 44042, whatever this is, as that project, and then your utility permit will have that same project name. So when you open it, everything's there. Same with DPW permits and
so
stuff like that.
Building permits the same way.
Yeah, and then that way we don't have to keep uploading to the record or anything like that. And I'm sorry, can I click on here? Okay, okay. All right, so we'll do that. With that said, we have some minutes. Were you able to look at the minutes for the 25th?
Yeah, we'll look at it. Yeah, that's fine.
And the check marks on these?
Oh, that was for me because I was reviewing it. That's my copy.
Oh, okay. And we're all set. Okay, so we'll just approve them on the record, and then you guys can go upstairs and do your John Hancock on a clean copy that we can post.
Sure.
Okay. Sounds good. So we'll just do here. So that we have a record of what we approved on the hearing. Approve those. Okay.
And do we have anything else?
Are you here? Do you want to further discuss anything?
Just want to add on the record, I have sent the tolling agreement to you via email. Do you want me to wait around to sign it? Do you want me to sign it electronically later? How would you like to?
If you want to come upstairs and sign it, that's fine. Yeah, when we're done here. Thank you. All right, with that said, we're done. We had been waiting to hear from the city solicitor, and I think this is in terms of a pending application for an attachment on a street that's designated as private, but it is maintained by DPW, correct?
Correct.
I am not sure that that question was answered.
Okay.
I think we knew that we do not have jurisdiction on private ways, the same way that we don't have jurisdiction on PCR property, even though it's in Cambridge.
Oh, correct, correct.
Yeah. So I'm not sure. I believe that we got confirmation of that, but I don't know that we got confirmation as to in this particular case. So I'm just going to, I would suggest that we take a vote to once again press to the city solicitor to give us a legal opinion as to whether or not a street which is designated in the DPW book or whatever it is that
private way, unaccepted way.
Private way, but that's maintained by DPW, does that make it so that we have
jurisdiction
over the attachments on that private way? At least that's how I see it. I don't feel like this clarifies my question.
So you'll push it back to city solicitor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Now we're off the record and done.